Ark Raiders, a multiplayer extraction adventure game where most of humanity shelters underground. But raiders rise to the surface in search of something greater. In the Rust Belt, danger isn't the end of the story. It's the beginning of the adventure. Every journey above ground is a gamble against the relentless machines of Ark and rival raiders chasing the same dream. Explore a lethal yet vibrant world scarred by old conflicts and reclaimed by nature, where shifting conditions make every high-stakes run unpredictable. Ark Raiders. Available now on PlayStation 5, Xbox Series X, S, and PC. Rated T for Teen.
At Lowe's, this Veterans Day and every day, verified military members, veterans, and their spouses get automatic silver status in MyLowe's Rewards with free standard shipping, plus 10% off eligible purchases with no annual limit. It's one way we honor and give back to those who have served and still do. Learn more now at Lowe's.com/military. 10% discount can't be combined with another offer. Exclusions, terms, and conditions apply. Loyalty program subject to terms and conditions. Details at Lowe's.com/terms. Subject to change.
Old school security kicks in after the break-in. Too late. SimpliSafe rewinds the story, stopping crime before it starts. Active Guard Outdoor Protection uses AI-powered cameras to detect intruders, alert live monitoring agents, and can deter intruders before they reach your door. It's proactive protection, plus a 60-day money-back guarantee and no contracts. To get 60% off your new system, go to simplisafe.com/podcast. That's simplisafe.com/podcast. There's no safe like SimpliSafe.
We'll get back to your football calls in a second, but we need to have an open and honest conversation about something that happened last night in New York sports, because it's one of those scenarios where if the person running the New York Knicks, his name wasn't Mike Brown, but his name was, let's call him Tom Thibodeau, the lead story in every newspaper, the lead story on this radio station would have been how Tom Thibodeau did something so awful and so scandalous and so reprehensible that he'd need to be fired on the spot. Because last night, the New York Knicks, and look, they got their ass kicked by the Orlando Magic. It happens. It's not that big of a deal.
It's basketball.
It's basketball. And we can get into all the hows and the whys, but bottom line is they got their ass kicked, even though Paolo Banchero got hurt and left in the first quarter. But down by 16 with a minute 54 to go, Jalen Brunson was still in the game. He drove to the basket, and it appears like he has sprained the same ankle he sprained last year when he missed 15 games. Again, with a minute 54 to go, and the Knicks down by 16. If Tom Thibodeau was the head coach, there'd be picket signs all around New York City.
I missed this game last night. How many minutes did he play?
I'll look at the box score, but I would guess like 36, 37. He actually sat Mikal Bridges in the fourth quarter looking for a spark. So Mike Brown was trying all sorts of different things last night.
So if you're going to sit Bridges and you got to play one of your stars and the big best closer in the NBA that we talked about all last season is Jalen Brunson. So what else? I mean, you have to keep one of those guys out there just in case.
But Tiki, at what point do you say the game is over? Let's white flag it. In fact, when Brunson got hurt and ended up taking his free throws, that was the white flag moment when he brought in Tyler Kolek and he brought in the rest of his bench and did the white flag lineup. But you're down by 16 with a minute and a half to go. Mm. Now, I haven't given an opinion yet. I'm just putting all the facts out there because we all have to at least admit. Just admit this before we dive into it.
Right.
That if this was Tom Thibodeau,
I don't think
there'd
so.
Be a trial.
I think with Tom Thibodeau, it was always about the minutes. It was about the grind. It was about you can't play these guys 46 minutes every night and expect them not to get hurt. It's just it's attrition. It wears on you. And that's not what was happening last night.
January 27th, 2024. Mm-hmm. The New York Knicks are up by 17. Okay, this is they're down by 16.
Yes.
Up by 17 with 4.5 minutes to go. 4.5 minutes to go. And that's when Jaime Jaquez took that cheap shot at Julius Randle, and Julius injured his shoulder, and it changed his entire season. We basically had a trial for an entire month
about Tom Thibodeau's decision to have Julius in that game. They're not even close. 4.5 minutes to go up 17 and 1:54 to go down 16 cannot be any more different. And yet the trial was out for Tibbs, and with Mike
That's
Brown.
That's because he was already under suspicion because of the minutes that he was constantly playing guys. That's not the case with Jalen Brunson. He played 37 minutes last night. That's like, it's nothing.
Okay.
It happened. It sucked.
I'll give you my opinion on this because I do agree. I don't think Mike Brown did anything wrong.
Of course he did.
My issue is all you fibaholics out there.
That was only because of what Thibs was likely, not likely, but consistently doing to his starting players. It was every night.
That was a different issue. This is the issue of when to take guys out of games. Mm. And Tom took a lot of crap for that. And look, I think this is a really difficult decision a coach makes. When do you say a game is over? Whether you're up by 20 or down by 20, when is the moment where you say, okay, I'm literally giving up? And that is not easy.
Right.
I don't think there's an exact answer to that. Now, look, with 1.5 minutes to go down by 16, it's probably over. We're probably in that moment where Evan leaves because it's mathematically over. And if you've reached the mathematical point, that's when it is time to move on. But it's also basketball, and guys have to compete.
16 points is 3 3-pointers.
There's 1.5 minutes to go.
Okay, you get a three-pointer, you get a stop, three-pointer, stop, three-pointer, stop. Now you have possession.
You're down by 7. Your math is off today. They're down by 16. 9 points only cuts it to 7.
5 3-pointers.
Tommy, you have any issues with Mike Brown last night?
I didn't.
Do you think that Tom Thibodeau would be put on trial today if it was him?
100%. But Tiki nailed it. It was already pent up. There were so many cases out on Tom, on Tibbs.
That's exactly right.
It was just the point where a lot of the fan base was just frustrated with it. It's a honeymoon period. If Cat gets injured in a week or so, and this is the same situation, then people will start to get mad at Mike Brown. But so far, Mike Brown has been anti-Tibbs, so people are okay with it. And Jalen has gotten hurt before on the ankle, so there's that feeling of, right, all right, well, JB gets hurt in these spots.
Keep this in mind with Jalen Brunson. When he injured his ankle last year, he missed 15 games. He missed 2 other games that season. In the 17 games the Knicks played without Jalen Brunson a year ago, they were 11-6.
Right.
Did a really good job without him. In the 2 years before that, the results were more mixed, a combined record of 8-10. But last year, the Knicks were fine without Jalen Brunson. I would expect that to be the same. One other quick thing about Mike Brown. What I love to hear from coaches and managers are the things they say after games.
Yeah.
And I thought Mike Brown got an A+ last night. Because here is Mike Brown being very blunt about the Knicks just simply getting their ass kicked by the Orlando Magic. And sometimes that's just the easiest thing to say, and it's the most accurate thing to say. Here's Mike Brown very quickly expressing his thoughts on last night's loss to Orlando.
First of all, you got to give them credit. Jamal Mosley and the rest of Orlando Magic, they kicked our ass. It's as simple as that.
They kicked our ass. The other thing he did.
Didn't try to make excuses, didn't try to say this or that and the other thing. They kicked our ass.
Damn right. I don't want to hear about back-to-backs. They kicked our ass. The other thing, and I am so glad he did this, because I thought I was being a Knicks hater when I was thinking this, but I'm watching the first half, and I'm texting my buddy in the committee, in the coalition of Knicks haters, and I'm like, boy, all the Knicks do is bitch. All they do is whine about the officials.
Bunch of bitches.
But I kept it to myself because I don't want to be a hater. Listen to Mike Brown after the game.
But the thing that I was most disappointed in was in the first half, everything that happened on the court, we blame the officials. Mm. And that was disappointing to see because we were the culprits of a lot of stuff that happened out on the floor.
That's my guy. Mm-hmm. Let me tell you something. I may not be a Knicks fan.
Talk about
I'm a Mike Brown guy.
Talk about keeping it real.
Keeping it real. And I thought that, but again, I swear to God, I know I admit I hate the Knicks, all that. I really try to be fair. And as I was observing that, I was like, I don't even want to say it. Because if I say it, like if I text Loogie and be like, boy, you guys, all you do is whine, you baby, you big bitches. He would be like, did that suck? Coalition, blah, blah, blah. But I honestly thought it. And then Mike Brown sat
Has
there.
Has he always been this way?
Like very raw?
Yeah, I don't know if I remember him or even if I've ever heard him talk post-game of any of his stops and be real like this.
Yeah, he was very real when he was talking about possession after possession after possession after possession. Remember that clip?
Yeah, of course. Right. But, yeah. I mean, just stop bitching.
Yeah, I love that.
Right? It's just, and he's calling his own guys out.
He called his own guys out.
Because usually coaches use post-game press conferences or in-game interviews or any of that stuff to talk about something they want changed about either the official or the other team, whatever. They never call out their own guy.
ARK Raiders, a multiplayer extraction adventure game where most of humanity shelters underground. But Raiders rise to the surface in search of something greater. In the Rust Belt, danger isn't the end of the story. It's the beginning of the adventure. Every journey above ground is a gamble against the relentless machines of ARK and rival raiders chasing the same dream. Explore a lethal yet vibrant world scarred by old conflicts and reclaimed by nature, where shifting conditions make every high-stakes run unpredictable. ARK Raiders. Available now on PlayStation 5, Xbox Series X, S, and PC. Rated T for teen.
Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
I'm done with subscriptions. Streaming, fitness, razors, vitamins. I've got subscriptions for everything in my life. They lock you in, and half the time, I can't figure out how to unsubscribe. That's why I'm so excited about the new Blue Apron. Now you can get delicious meals delivered with no subscription needed, including new pre-made options. Keep the flavor. Ditch the subscription. Get 20% off your first two orders with code APRON20. Terms and conditions apply. Visit blueapron.com/terms for more.
At Lowe's, this Veterans Day and every day, verified military members, veterans, and their spouses get automatic silver status in MyLowe's Rewards with free standard shipping, plus 10% off eligible purchases with no annual limit. It's one way we honor and give back to those who have served and still do. Learn more now at Lowe's.com/military. 10% discount can't be combined with another offer. Exclusions, terms, and conditions apply. Loyalty program subject to terms and conditions. Details at Lowe's.com/terms. Subject to change.
At Marisa's, we're all about great jeans. You know, the ones that fit you just right. The ones that simply make you feel good. Because you don't just wear jeans, you live in them. Find great jeans starting at $29.90 in stores and at Marisa's.com.
Called out his own guys?
You very rarely hear that in sports. I mean, think about Aaron Boone calling out whoever. Anthony Volpe. Yeah, you know what really disappointed me? Anthony Volpe's going to a knee, and I know why. Because he's scared of his shoulder, and he needs to just stop being, you know, compromised and play the game like he knows how to play. Can you imagine Aaron Boone saying that?
No, not at all.
That's basically what Mike Brown just said.
Don't you love it?
Of course I do.
So
keep it real.
Mike Brown keeping it real. And obviously this is all a results business. I don't think anyone's freaking out over the loss last night. They got pounded. I mean, I think it was the first time all year in which they allowed their opponent to beat them on the offensive glass, which hasn't happened in any game this season. Orlando out-physicaled them. Right. They bullied them. And it happens. It's basketball. It's an 82-game season. It's a long-ass season. Another quote from Aaron Boone. But I like that realness from Mike Brown. So I'm a Mike Brown guy, I have to admit. And I thought that was very encouraging last night. But boy, oh boy, if his name was Tom Thibodeau, oh my God, there would have been a trial. He would have been evicted. It would have been an ugly scene. Right, let's get back to your calls, 888-808-1019. Freddie is in Springfield, New Jersey. What's going on, Freddie?
How you doing, Evan and Kiki?
What's up?
What's up?
I got to take an issue with Evan.
Yeah.
Evan, are you a New Yorker?
Yes.
Your whole life?
Yes, yes.
You are. Okay, so partially you are like this. I can never understand personally how somebody can be from a specific state or a specific city and not root for the teams that they live by. How could you not like the Knicks?
Because we have multiple teams in the town. Like, Met fans don't like the Yankees. Jet fans don't like the Giants.
No, that's okay. I didn't say that. But is there another New York basketball team?
You're being a jerk now, aren't you?
The Nets still in the league.
I'm just asking.
Yes, the Brooklyn Nets. The Brooklyn Nets. My favorite team.
Are they really New York?
they were in Jersey.
I understand Brooklyn is in New York.
I mean, they're more New York than the Jersey. They're more New York than the Jets or the Giants, who actually play in the state of New Jersey. So yeah, they're a New York team.
Football's different.
Okay. Okay, but okay. So if you're picking teams and you pick the Yankees
right.
over the Mets,
right.
okay. Now I kind of understand that you're picking another New York team.
Yes. Yeah, I picked another. Thank you, Freddie. I just needed to remind him that the Nets exist. He forgot, and that's okay.
Yeah, but you were a Nets fan when they were in in Jersey.
That is correct. But the same would apply to the Devil fan. Like, this works with a lot of other teams in this town. Like, there are New Jersey Devil fans, and they do not root for the Rangers.
And the Nets were the New York Nets before they went to Jersey, too. So if you're passing on lineage, as many of us do, from dad to son.
Absolutely. Yeah. Now, I wasn't a New York Nets fan when they played in New York, because I wasn't born yet. But, yeah, and look, the New Jersey-New York thing is stupid, so I'll just explain this a little simpler to Freddie, yeah. and I think it's okay. I think Freddie forgot the Nets existed, which, by the way, I don't blame him.
Swag, not Nets.
Like, I sort of forget sometimes.
That's kind of funny. I think he did, too.
I think he did. I think he made the call, like, but they don't. There is no other New Jersey.
Did the Nets get relegated to the WNBA?
Look, I think New York sports works this way. Most people root for one team and either don't like the other team or are indifferent to the other yes. team. There are some that root for everybody, mm-hmm. like, hey, I'm a Jet fan, but oh, I'll root for the Giants.
Right.
That's not me. That's not right. a lot of people at this radio station.
I'm not a fan, but good for you.
Yeah.
I think a lot of people are that way.
Yeah, I think a lot of people are.
That's how I am. And because I didn't grow up here.
Right.
It's different.
And I don't have any issue with that. But let's not be confused. One of the things that makes New York special, in my opinion, is that we do have multiple teams in every sport.
Right.
And so we're not universally behind one team the way Boston is. I mean, we're about to play them. They're all Patriot fans. They're all Celtic fans. They're all Red Sox fans. Like, they root for their one team. And the beauty of our area is that we've got three hockey teams, mm-hmm. we got two football teams, we have two baseball teams, and, well, we really have one NBA team, and the other one plays in the G League.
The Nets still in the league.
Two soccer teams.
Yeah, speaking of which, that soccer stadium's going up quick in Queens.
I know.
I drove by it the other night. I'm like,
is Steve
damn.
Cohen in that? Is that part of him or no?
I don't think so.
I don't either, but it's going up quick.
Yeah, it's
so
going
somebody
up.
Has money.
Crazy, man.
So.
Let's go to Bobby in Yonkers. What's up, Bobby?
Yeah, hi, guys. I come in peace today. Evan, and I'm a Nets fan since since Connor Seca and Rick Barry. I saw the two ABA championships.
Nice.
But anyway, what I'm looking for with the Jets tonight, and Glenn has made it hard to root for him, even though I like him as a player, at least be competitive. And if Fields is no good, you got to put Taylor in right away. You know, or even play Brady Cook if Taylor gets hurt.
That's not an option. I guess if he got hurt, because he would be the third stringer. I think that's for way down the road. The thing about Tyrod Taylor is that he's got more big play ability than Justin Fields.
One, yes.
And they may need that to beat a team like New England tonight.
With the arm,
yeah,
of course.
That's what I mean, yeah.
But that also takes timing and precision and repetitions. And how many reps has Tyrod Taylor had with the starting, not even the starting, because it's not even the starters. It's mostly the backups right at this point. So this is a tall task, no matter how you look at it. It's a tall task, unless Breece Hall has the day of days. He rushes for 130 yards and catches eight passes for whatever. It's going to be hard for them to move the football.
Let's go to Dom in Westport. Hey, Dom.
Hey, guys. How you doing? Great talking to you again. First, I got a question for you, Evan. Just curious, why do you have such a hatred? You mentioned the teams you hate for Miami. I mean, they haven't done anything. I know they're in the Jets division. They haven't done anything since they lost to San Francisco over 40 years ago in the Super Bowl.
Great.
Just curious about that.
Great question. They've done nothing to me. I mean, they've done stuff to me. Like, I've had some bad losses to them and all, but they haven't been good. It's their fans. Their fans are weird and awful and really obnoxious.
Which ones? The ones up here or the ones down there?
The ones up here. I don't care about the ones in South Florida. The ones that live in New York, like, they're mostly just delusional, annoying slugs.
Well, I want to bring another point for this, even though I'm a Giants fan. Uh-huh. And remember, just a few weeks ago, we had the Super Bowl champs coming in and Giants playing them, and the Giants beat them. So anything can happen on Thursday night.
Anything can happen. By the way, we had to dump something our last caller said because he said something inappropriate about Massachusetts sports fans.
Yes.
It was a phrase like, I'll try to describe it without saying it.
Take the first part of the state and the thing you dig with the With a shovel.
Well done. That was very well done. And as he said it, I kind of chuckled, and I realized that's borderline a curse. So good job by Tommy for dumping that. But it's a very creative, negative term to use about Massachusetts sports fans.
It is a solid one.
Yeah, the Dolphin dislike is about fans. And it's not that all Dolphin fans are annoying.
Right.
Like, Eddie Scazzeri works here, and he's the best. He's very quiet, doesn't say much, doesn't talk trash. It's the delusional ones. Mm. And there's a lot of them. And then the other thing that really bothers me about Dolphin fans is...
Delusional in what way? Delusional because they think their team is, like, great?
Yeah.
Or going to win? But
yes.
They know that they're not.
I know.
I think the Dolphin fans that I know actually are despondent.
Oh, really? Good. I like that.
They're frustrated.
I like
they're,
that.
They're kind of defeatist.
Oh, good.
Like Jet Ooh. Fan.
Yeah, I like that. like Frank the Tank.
Nothing good is going to happen to me.
Frank the Tank is one of my favorite Dolphin fans because he is down in the dump.
Right.
Tua Tagovailoa at Alabama.
Yeah. JJ's kind of delusional.
Gambling problem.
I haven't talked to JJ in a while, but he was like borderline delusional.
He's delusional. He always goes through the turnstile every year.
Oh, he's full
Oh, he wants McDaniel back. He wants Tua back. He doesn't get it. He thinks that his franchise is better than the Jets when they're not. He's beyond delusional.
Look, here's what I say about the Jets and the Dolphins, and it's all about where you want to start the line of demarcation. If I'm just going to go like this millennial, like the millennium. Let's start 2000, right? In the last 25 years, you can't compare the two franchises. The Jets are far better. I've been to two championship games. That franchise hasn't won a playoff game. Mm. Like, it's not even close.
Right.
So while, you've had more recent success, I mean, who hasn't? The Jets are a joke. But in terms of, like, the last 25 years, it's not close.
Yeah,
so
Miami's
my dislike would be more about their delusional fans.
Yeah, Miami's been bad.
Every time they make the playoffs, their quarterback's hurt in, like, week 16 or 17, and they got to roll out a backup.
Too bad.
Skylar Thompson, Matt Moore, it's atrocious.
Are you saying this to make me feel bad?
No, I'm saying this
You're saying the reality of what they've done, what they produce.
I just think it's not their fault, but it makes them more of a joke. Like, even when they get to the playoffs, they waste our time because we're watching a backup quarterback play.
It's a good way to look at them. They're a waste of time. I like that. Let's go to Ozzy and Woodridge, who's not a waste of time. What's up, Ozzy?
Just listening. Be careful with karma, Sean. I mean, Dart is going through the same thing Tua is, bro. So just be careful with, like, what you said right there about the Dolphins and backup quarterbacks, bro.
Thanks, bro.
And I didn't even want to talk about that, but that's kind of where you're headed if you're not careful with Dart.
Jameis is going to lead us to the promised land. Don't worry.
I'm just saying, of all the quarterbacks in history, Tua is the direct comp. McDaniel's direct comp to Daboll.
But you know what? I'll say this about Tua. Tua's healthy and playing.
Well, it's also different. Tua's getting knocked out, not trying to run. Tua's, it's almost like accidental concussions.
Yeah.
Yeah. They were kind
he falls
weird.
Like a rag doll. He doesn't know how to like fall and get like tackles. So he just goes ragdollish and smacks his head on the ground every time he gets back.
At least three of them were because his head hit the ground. One because he tried to run through two defenders. I remember that one down in the goal area. But no, you're right. You got to be careful with it, especially for if you're a quarterback.
Yeah, but already Nick's come across. This is what I called about. A little bit of competition at the mecca of mediocrity, and now we start to see cracks in Tommy's latest fugazi gimmick, Rick's Knicks in 26. We got Rick keeping his son out there too long so he could pad the stats so that Rick could look better.
Ozzy.
And now we're starting.
A friendly reminder. Sorry, I know you're reading this off a napkin. I didn't mean to interrupt you. I have to remind you this every 2 months. It's not Little League. Rick Brunson doesn't want his son, you know, batting, you know, first and hitting, you know, playing shortstop. Rick Brunson is an assistant coach. He doesn't have the stroke and the pull that you want. It's not Succession. It's not Little League. So I know you like this as your fan fiction as a member of the Coalition of Knick Haters. It is not accurate.
Thomas, this is reverse daddy ball, Thomas. He has his job only because his son is the best player on the team. And the knives are out, Thomas, just like they were with Tiz. And Rick is going to be the downfall. Rick's Knicks is 26 is going to be like a failure, just like with everything else with Positive Tommy. Do you guys want me to run down the list of all of Positive Tommy's failures?
Yeah, I'd be curious. What are his failures? Go ahead.
Oh, thank you very much. Last year's Knicks ended in disgrace. dysfunction.
No biggie.
And absolute embarrassment. Right. Also, we have him calling the Mets Big Brother solely because of the signing of Soto.
And no biggie.
They didn't even make the playoffs.
No biggie.
And here's another three, and this makes me sad, and it's kind of a little bit cryptic, but it is the truth. He said Neighbors has the ability to be best wide receiver in Giants history. He start dart train, and he also was all over Scatabu like white on rice, especially after Scatabu put on that jersey at MSG. And all three of those young athletes, and I wish them the best, got hurt.
No biggie.
The guys who escaped and are doing well are Hartenstein leaving Tommy's gimmick and winning a championship, and Tommy Cutlets being on a good team up in New England because they got away from positive Tommy.
Wow, that is
the poison pill.
Ozzy, no, that biggie. Is quite a list. I may be able to add to that list.
Which is?
I got to play something for you.
Uh-oh.
And I told you, here at Evan and Tiki, we remember everything that we say.
Accountability is key.
And this one is interesting. This is not cut and dry. Like, I'm going to play it for you, and I think it's worthy of a discussion.
Okay.
So I'll set it up before we play it. But a while ago, months ago, Tommy's object of his affection was Luis Angel Acuna. Remember that?
Kind of.
Loved him.
Kind of okay? Gets blurred with Sidney Sweeney.
You were the first person to mix up Sidney Sweeney and Luis Angel.
Yeah, I always draw the line there.
Right, all right, go ahead.
But this was all the way back at the beginning of the baseball season, and he was a big Luis Angel Acuna guy. And so I asked him a very interesting direct question. I said, Tommy, if Luis Angel Acuna and his career turns out to be that of Kike Hernandez, would you sign for it? Now, I think this is the perfect time to play it because Kike Hernandez, again,
right,
contributes to the Los Angeles Dodgers winning a World Series.
Right.
Even the little things, right? Like him, he was the one who waved at the center fielder to say it got stuck underneath the fence.
Right.
So let's listen to Tommy's answer to that question. Very simple. Hey, Tommy, would you be okay with Luis Angel Acuna having the same career as Kike Hernandez? If I told you right now, would you sign for Kike Hernandez's career for Luis Angel Acuna? What would your answer be?
I think I'm going to give the same answer that BT gave. I expect more, but I do think winning championship teams need the David Ecksteins, the Kike Hernandez, the guys that are hitting, you know, sixth or seventh, eighth in the lineup, but are really like three hitters when it comes to the postseason and get those big hits.
Right.
So I think the potential in his ceiling is higher than Kike, but if you have that kind of career where you're a winner and you get clutch hits with this type of roster, I'd love it, but I think he's better than
him. So the answer is no.
So the answer is no.
Okay. So he would not.
It's funny. Everything you said
was great.
Made it feel like you were going to say absolutely.
Right.
Yes, I will take Kike Hernandez's career for Acuna. Like, that's what it felt like.
And then he said no.
And then you said no. So what the hell?
Do we add that to the list of things that positive Tommy has gotten wrong?
That's kind of a mind twist. Tommy?
Well, I think it was the perfect example of being drunk with positivity there, and I wanted to shoot higher than perhaps what Acuna's, you know, actually is. And then when I was watching Kike again in the World Series, I'm like, bro, I'm an idiot that I said that, because first of all, who wouldn't want a Kike Hernandez on their team? And that's really what Acuna is sort of developing into, that, you know, Swiss Army knife guy that could do a lot of stuff. So I was wrong on that one. I'm not going to skip the podium. I was completely wrong. I would sign for that in a second. I'll give you another thing too, Ozzy, if you're listening. Because I think of Ozzy now every time I see this, and he's right about this. Rick Brunson was supposed to be demoted, take on a lesser role. He was sitting right next to Mike Brown last night. Right next to him. You know what I mean? So this idea
is that every night?
I haven't been. I will dial in now, but right. Last night I saw him sitting right next
so
to Mike Brown.
So what you're saying is Ozzy's right.
No, he's not right. I mean, because he's taking. No,
well, maybe somebody took his seat.
Exactly. I don't think it matters where they sit. My point is that he's sitting right next to the coach, and there's this, you know, fan fiction from haters of the Knicks that Rick Brunson is in Mike Brown's ear going, gotta do this, gotta do that, play my son more. I don't think that's happening, but he was sitting next to Mike Brown last night.
I do love Tiki saying maybe somebody took a seat like it's Thanksgiving dinner. The coaches have an order, right?
I don't know. I think they just kind of randomly sit out.
You never know. I don't know if that's how it works. I was thinking the other night, I miss coaches dressing up. I miss them looking like they're classy.
I agree. Tom Landry was my favorite.
And nowadays,
even though I hated him.
No, I get you.
He was a Cowboys
coach. Top hat, the jacket.
But he started as a Giants coach.
Yeah, of course. Vince Lombardi, too.
Yep.
But in the NBA, like, every coach dressed up like they were going out to a fancy dinner. And the pandemic changed it. Coming out of the pandemic, everyone's in these sweatpants now. And it's like, what are we doing?
Was it really?
Yes. Yeah.
They went very casual in the bubble, and they came out of it even more casual.
I don't remember what coaches wore now before. Oh, 9/11.
So look at Google.
I mean, not 9/11, 2020.
Google Pat Riley.
He's
the best example
of course. But I always felt like he was an outlier.
Tom Thibodeau.
Everybody else did this.
Tom Thibodeau
even
in Chicago.
Outside of New York?
Yes. Tom Thibodeau in Chicago. I mean, Tom Thibodeau, we love him. He's a slob, right? That was kind of mean. Let me take that back. He's, he's like Sean.
Frumpy.
He's frumpy.
Yes.
And
wait a minute. I just called myself frumpy.
Yeah. And he would wear a suit and tie. And after the pandemic, and I knew it at the time, I think we all knew it. Joe called it. He's like, they're never going back now to being classy. I'm telling you right now, bro. And he was right. Because once everyone got comfortable wearing their jumpsuits,
right,
that was it.
Well, they made the jumpsuits nicer, too.
They did. And they do look so comfortable, I must admit.
Really,
we'll get back to your calls coming up, 888-808-1019, and why Dan Campbell and Tiki Barber may now be enemies. Mm. Evan and Tiki on the Fan. The beginning of week number 11 tonight. With our New York Jets trying to win their third straight game, make us proud, go to Foxborough and beat the New England Patriots. We'll get back to your calls on that, as well as the Giants beginning the new Mike Kafka era with their game against Green Bay on Sunday. Now, the end of this weekend is one of the most appealing games on the schedule. The Philadelphia Eagles are hosting the Detroit Lions in what could potentially be an NFC Championship game preview. Mm. And Dan Campbell was asked about something that Tiki really does not like right now, and that is the tush push.
Oh, I hate it.
Dan Campbell was asked about banning the tush push. Take a listen to his answer.
Any problems with it this year? Has that caused you anything?
I mean, I don't know. Here's why. I'm a purist, man. You take something else out of the game, then we're taking the next thing out of the game. Then you're taking another thing out of the game. Then pretty soon we don't have pads anymore. And then pretty soon it's you're only playing 30 minutes. And then pretty soon it's, you know, so that's why I don't want to take it out of the game. It's something. A team's got a niche. They found something. They're good at it. And it's for everybody else to stop. And it's unique. And it's physical. And I just, more than anything, I just don't want to take anything else out of the game. You know, I just want to leave the game alone. That's me.
What do you say to that?
That's a good answer. He's right, too, by the way. It is physical. It is unique. In fact, I did a presentation, a speech out in Utah last year, and I was talking about innovation and how innovation has taken over sports, and we see it in everything. And I used the tush push as an example of something that nobody thought about, that the Philadelphia Eagles do better than anybody. Because other teams try this, right? I showed you guys this last year when we did the Eagles versus the Buffalo Bills. And the Eagles, all those guys, coached expertly, executed expertly and converted every single time. The Buffalo Bills, big quarterback, Josh Allen, they all three heads come up. And when the heads come up, the offensive line is losing that battle. The Eagles never lose that battle. My problem with the tush push isn't that it's an unfair play. It's that the referees don't know how to ref it.
Saw last week.
Last week was egregiously bad. The Eagles, they false start on every single one of these.
Right.
Every one. I mean, the left guard and Dickerson and the right guard, they're moving and into the defense before the center snaps the ball. So how is that fair, right? And so it's almost like you're creating a free shield for the center and the quarterback because you don't call the false start. And so learn how to adjudicate it, then I'll be okay with it.
Yeah, that's...
And by the way, until I started realizing that they don't know what the hell they're doing refereeing it, I was okay with it.
Yeah, that's
I thought it was, I mean, just stop it. Figure, like, be stronger.
That's exactly how I felt until you see obvious false starts.
Yes.
Or the obvious cheating of moving the ball up like a half an inch.
Right.
Like, that's the kind of stuff that would bother me and most.
Right.
It's not that no one can stop it, because you pointed it out early. Other teams can't do it as well.
No, they don't. They try.
Yeah.
Like, it's not like the Eagles are the only team that tries to do it. Other teams try. They just don't execute it the same way at all.
Let's get back to your calls, 888-808-1019. Artie in Brooklyn. What's up, Artie?
Hey, Artie.
Hey, guys. What's going on? You know,
I hear arguments about Taylor being the quarterback and stuff like that. And to me, I mean, I'd love for them to win, but I still don't know about Fields. Not that he's going to be this great player, but do we need another guy that we just hold the quarterback position until the draft, the guy that we draft is going to play? Is he going to be on this team? So why not start him and just see what he's got and throw the ball more than 20 times, I think. And the other thing, too, I understand, in the NFL, you got to report every injury, right?
Right.
For gambling stuff. How is Glenn getting away with not naming his quarterback?
Because that's
not. How the heck are they keeping it that quiet?
Artie,
isn't Samini finding out?
Samini wrote a good article today, interesting, about the 22ers, he called them. The 2022 draft, which was all those guys.
Right.
A couple of them are gone, obviously. But it's you have to report injuries. The quarterback decision for Aaron Glenn is not injury related. And so he's not running afoul of any NFL rule or gambling by association with the NFL rule. You only have to report injuries. Like, he doesn't have to tell us on a Wednesday or a Tuesday, in this case, since they're playing Thursday, Breece Hall is my starting running back. Like, he doesn't have to tell
you
that.
Right.
Or I don't know, whoever. What Olufashinu is my starting tackle. He doesn't have to tell you any of that. The only thing he has to tell you is Breece Hall is hurt or he's dealing with a strained calf.
Right.
That he has to tell you. But if you're healthy, he doesn't have to give you any kind of proprietary information at all.
Once you clear the rules, which you just described, all you've got to do is what I like to call follow the Knicks model. The New York Knicks, for years, and they never gave a crap, never had their general manager or team president talk. They didn't have that media availability.
Right.
And so what some fans would do, but most other media members would do, is freak out. How did the Knicks do this?
Yeah.
Dolan's a creep. Like, every horrible thing in the world.
We need to know what's going on. You got to tell us.
And the Knicks would continuously thumb their nose and say, no, we're not. And they would get bad publicity, especially when they were bad, right? They'd just get bad. But they would plow through it and not care. And here we are all these years later. The Knicks are good now. They continue to not make guys available.
Yep.
And we have just grown accustomed to it. Mm-hmm. It's no longer a big deal. It's just, yeah, they're not going to do it.
Right,
so what Aaron Glenn could do if he wants, and it's a dangerous road because you're going to have to deal with the trap now, is he can continue to be douchey, if that's what you want to call it.
Obscure.
Obscure. Not tell you who the quarterback is. Not be specific on injuries, as long as he's following the rules of the injury report. And just do what the Knicks did, because eventually we become numb to it.
Yeah.
I mean, does anyone talk about the Knicks' availability of Leon Rose?
We did for the first couple of years.
Right, and then we become numb to it. And it's just, that's what
they do. Also started to see the progress. Like, if there was something you needed to really get on him about, it would be if they were regressing.
But
they're constantly taking steps
forward.
They
fired Tom Thibodeau. Whether I agreed with it or not, it was controversial.
This year differently.
They have plowed through for 7 or 8 years now. I forget when this actually started. Mm-hmm. It's probably longer than that. And a lot of those times were bad times. So it's not just, oh, they're good now. Yeah, they're good now. But they plowed through it. And we all accept it.
Right.
Like, it's just, it is what it is. And so Aaron Glenn can try to do that. Now, he's going to take a lot of shrapnel for now because we're not used to it. But the New York Knicks are great evidence that you do not have to communicate with us. You really don't.
Yeah.
The Knicks sell out every night. They're now winning.
Right.
I don't hear Tommy screaming and yelling saying, I need to hear from Leon Rose.
Do you care to hear from Leon Rose right now?
Not right now, but I wanted to hear from him after Tibbs got fired.
But why? Why? Because don't you know why he got fired?
Yes and no. I have speculations. I have, like, and I, at least I feel like you have to hit the podium. There are questions that the reporters would have that a lot of the fans would want to have because Tibbs wasn't a, you know, universal. Everybody was happy that he got fired. It wasn't like everybody's like, you know, if they lost to the Celtics, I think everyone would have been like, you know what, it's justified. But they didn't. So people wanted to know why. And now we have to go based on sports, reports and speculation.
And it goes,
I want to hear from the guy.
And it goes before that because I think this is a little bit easier now. The Knicks are good and we accept it. What about Steve Mills? What about years before that when the Knicks were a joke? And I'm not crediting the Knicks. I'm just reminding everyone that if a team really just wants to plow through this, they can. The Knicks are a great template of it. Now, the New York Yankees, I think, are the gold standard of franchises here. They are. They're by success. I mean, I'm sorry. The success is not even debatable. You can't give me any franchise in this city that can match the success of the New York Yankees. And if they wanted to, they could say, Brian Cashman's never going to speak to the media. Mm-hmm.
But Brian wants to speak to the media. I think that's the difference, too. He enjoys it.
And I also think the Yankees feel differently about their obligation with this city.
Yeah.
And so that even if Brian...
They want to talk to the fans.
They do. But the Knicks have shown you that if you want to follow the template, you can try.
Right.
And you'll get a lot of shrapnel for a long time. But eventually, what are you going to do about it?
Yeah, eventually you have to start winning. And then it goes away.
Or you can keep losing, keep facing shrapnel, and just never give in. The Knicks went years without winning. And again, yeah, people would scream about it, mostly people in the media.
Yeah, but
that's it. It never changed.
I never felt like it was a big deal until they started winning.
Oh, no, I totally disagree with that. It was a bigger deal when they were losing.
Or we're on the edge of starting to win. And people knew that they were good, but not nearly good enough. And they wanted answers on how they could get better.
Well, the point is, they've been doing it for a decade, right. And it doesn't change, good or bad. And so, do the Jets want to go down that road? It's a tough road to go down, because the Knicks also can be arrogant and say, we're the Garden. We don't need to do this. Mm-hmm. We're going to sell out every game, good or bad, and we don't need to kiss your ass.
Right.
The New York Jets had a half-empty building last week.
Hmm.
There was nobody there.
Right.
They should be kissing their fans' tuchuses. So it's a road that is probably not best to go down, but you can always follow the Knicks template.
Right.
And they have executed it of saying, we don't really care about talking to our fans.
Sports Talk on WFAN is presented by Paramount Plus. You can't count on much, but you can always count on Sundays with the NFL on CBS and Paramount Plus. Watch your local NFL game live every Sunday, all season long. Visit ParamountPlus.com/NFL to get started today.
Matt's in Northport. What's up, Matt?
Hey, guys. I called you about this the last time you were bashing Dolphins fans. I think your sample size is skewed, because most of us, at least the New York contingent of Dolphins fans, most of the ones I know, we are much more doom and gloom like Frank the Tank than like ridiculously optimistic like JJ. I want, Tua out. I want the coach out, the whole thing, turn it over. But I had just like a question comment about the Dolphins since we are on them
sure.
for some reason. I think it's about time that we put Miami where they belong in the AFC South. You move the Colts to the North with Cincinnati, Cleveland, and Pittsburgh, and you put Baltimore in the East. And I know the Ravens Steelers was the biggest thing ever in 2010, but like rivalries change when we move teams into different divisions.
Yeah.
And Buffalo and Baltimore, they meet in the playoffs a lot, and New England and Baltimore have met in AFC championship games. So for travel purposes, why aren't the Dolphins playing?
I'll tell you why. I'll tell you exactly
right.
why.
Because this will happen in baseball.
Likely. Yes, it will.
This won't happen in football.
And here's the reason. Because in football, you're going to a city once a year.
Yes.
It ain't a big deal.
And that's a rivalry game.
Right. In baseball, there's so much more travel that it adds up and it makes more sense. But look at the NFC East. The New York Giants are in the same division as the Dallas Cowboys, and that shouldn't ever change.
No.
Like, yes, I get it geographically. It doesn't make any sense. We all know that.
Yeah.
But it's a division rival. It's ingrained in us for so long. And unlike baseball and basketball, where there is a lot of traveling, there isn't a lot of traveling in football. You go there once a year, and so it's just not a big deal.
Yeah, football is so different, and I've said this before, but it's worth repeating. You generally, unless you're going to London, you are away from home. You're not sleeping in your bed 8 nights out of the entire season. Not like 16 nights, because you stay for 2 days. You are gone for 1 night. And you come back even if you get home at 1 in the morning. So it's not arduous. It's not, man, I'm missing out on whatever I'm losing at home. And, this is terrible when I got to leave for a 15-day road trip and I don't see my kids and my family. It's not that in the NFL.
Right.
It's 8 nights all season long.
It's just not a big deal.
It is not a big deal at all. And even in training camp these days, you don't go away.
In baseball, they're eventually going to have radical realignment. That's an inevitability. The Mets and the Yankees are going to be in the same division. And even though we know it's being done for travel purposes, fans are going to say it's great for the sport. It's going to be a lot of fun. Mets and Yankees, yeah, yeah, yeah. Would it be fun to have the Jets and Giants in the same division? Like, is that what we want?
Ark Raiders, a multiplayer extraction adventure game where most of humanity shelters underground. but Raiders rise to the surface in search of something greater. In the Rust Belt, danger isn't the end of the story. It's the beginning of the adventure. Every journey above ground is a gamble against the relentless machines of ARK and rival raiders chasing the same dream. Explore a lethal yet vibrant world scarred by old conflicts and reclaimed by nature, where shifting conditions make every high-stakes run unpredictable. ARK Raiders. Available now on PlayStation 5, Xbox Series X, S, and PC. Rated T for teen.
Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
You open the fridge. There's nothing there. So what's it gonna be? Greasy pizza? Sad drive-through burgers? Dish by Blue Apron is for nights like that. These are the pre-made meals of your dreams. At least 20 grams of protein, no artificial flavors or colors, no chopping, no cleanup, no guilt. Keep the flavor. Ditch the subscription. Get 20% off your first two orders with code APRON20. Terms and conditions apply. Visit blueapron.com/terms for more.
At Lowe's, this Veterans Day and every day, verified military members, veterans, and their spouses get automatic silver status in MyLowe's Rewards with free standard shipping, plus 10% off eligible purchases with no annual limit. It's one way we honor and give back to those who have served and still do. Learn more now at Lowe's.com/military. 10% discount can't be combined with another offer. Exclusions, terms, and conditions apply. Loyalty program subject to terms and conditions. Details at Lowe's.com/terms. Subject to change.
At Marisa's, we're all about great jeans. You know, the ones that fit you just right. The ones that go from work days to weekends and everywhere in between. The ones that simply make you feel good. Because you don't just wear jeans, you live in them. With 25 sizes, 5 lengths, and 6 denim brands, you've got options. And fit experts in every store to make jean shopping easier. Find great jeans starting at $29.90 in stores and at Marisa's.com.
Radical realignment in the National Football League?
I don't think I would love that.
Why?
It doesn't speak to me. And it's not historically that great of a rivalry.
Well, I mean, Mets-Yankees wasn't a rivalry until they created interleague play. Things just happen when you create, when you sprinkle some pixie dust on it. Mm. Rivalries are created. I mean, if they did
just make
this,
them play every couple of years.
Well, they already do. Once every 4 years.
Four. So make it every two. The same city teams to play every
Are you scared? Is that what this is about?
Yeah.
Are you scared of the Jets? I'm
terrified.
Are you scared that like the Jets would kick your ass every year?
Terrified of Aaron Glenn.
Kind of sounds that way.
I am.
I don't know how we'd ever prepare for a game versus Jets. We never know who the quarterback is.
Right.
Glenn is a weird guy.
Would you guys want that from the Giant end of things? A radicalized NFC-AFC combo?
I love the Giant-Jet game every 4 years. I've gone to the last three. It is an event. I do think it would take away from it becoming an event if it was an every year thing. I do. I think it's different than Rangers Islanders,
Knicks, Nats. But you want it in baseball. That's what I find interesting.
Well, but there's a difference. Baseball's 162 games.
Baseball needs it, in your opinion.
Yeah, in my opinion, I think it spices up the year if you have them in the same division. It's too long a year. It's 162 games. It's not 16 games.
Would you want it, Tommy?
No, I just don't think it's a rivalry either, Giants-Jets. Maybe it becomes one, Teak, but I don't have it. I actually don't even like the Giant-Jet games. It doesn't do anything for me. I'm like, oh, we're playing the Jets this year. Maybe if it became a divisional rival, it would spice things up a little bit. Maybe it would get to Rangers Islanders. Maybe it would get to Yankees Mets.
You're losing out on one of the other rivals, and all the rivals in the NFC East
are
great rivals.
Yeah, right. We already booted the Cardinals.
Right.
I'm genuinely surprised how afraid you guys are of the Jets.
Oh, God.
I can't believe that you guys are that scared.
Evan, you would be the first one crying if they change this tomorrow. Now they change this. The Giants have Jackson Dart. Now this isn't fair.
I haven't even offered my opinion. I'm observing how chicken you three are.
No, this
I'm surprised by that.
Of course you haven't, because this is typical Evan Roberts playbook. When he wants to go first on something, he goes first on something.
Right.
When he wants to observe everybody that sits back, I haven't even offered an
opinion. Well,
no
one's asked me.
And,
you
then,
even...
and then bastardize the words that were saying.
Yep.
Right.
What's your opinion?
I don't think anybody has said that they're scared of the Jets at all.
Oh, no, I'm gaining it from the words. The way you're so adamantly, Tiki's afraid of the Jets, Sean's afraid of the Jets, Tommy's afraid of the Jets.
The New York Jets suck.
Tommy, you want my opinion?
I would like to. We all want your opinion.
Well, I didn't hear Tiki say he wants my opinion.
Please, Evan.
I would hate it. And you want to know why?
Because you're scared of the Giants.
Because I'm scared of the Giants. Damn right I am.
Scared of Tommy. When Tombo said Tommy DeVito. You're scared of Jackson Dart.
Listen.
And Cam Scataboo. And Brian Burns.
You're damn right. The Jets will finally be good, and we just won't be able to get past the Giants.
I would be scared of the Jets' pass rush if they keep developing.
Oh, thank you.
Will and Jermaine.
Johnson, man. The best thing they did was not trade him at the deadline.
Right.
I do have to say, if they do play, they do play once every 4 years, mm-hmm. and since we have force-fed all these holidays, I do think the Giants and Jets, when they do play, should always be a holiday.
Why not?
Well, you get together with all your family and friends anyway those days.
Right. A New York-only holiday.
A New York only every 3 years when they play?
Tri-state area-only holiday.
The next Christmas time, night, something like that. I don't care. Let's go.
The Black next Friday. Time the Jets play the Giants will be 20.
You mean on an actual holiday?
That's what I mean. I mean, there's Thanksgiving games. There's Christmas games. They played and this isn't meant to troll the famous Christmas Eve game.
The problem is the Thanksgiving is it's always going to be Detroit and Cowboys.
No, but the night game. The night game.
Oh, the night game.
Or it could be the Black Friday game.
Or the Black Friday game. It doesn't have to be every, because
I forgot they have a Black Friday game.
The point is, I think the Christmas Eve game is revered not just for the play, but those are days where you're always together with your friends and family. It's crossover, no, and I think to me,
that's a good point.
Do it that way.
The next time they play is 2027. The Jets are the home team. I've already committed that I am still going to be a season ticket holder in 2027, and I keep debating who I'm going to bring to that Jets Giants game. Would you sit in the upper deck with me at a Jets Giants game?
Of course I would.
Okay. He's there. Then I'm taking Tiki. Sorry, guys.
So I had to sit through a giant 49er game in a dead season with my knees up against it. Now I don't even get the benefit of the Jet Giant.
I'm curious if the Jets, and hopefully the Jets are doing well at that point, and they protect the
hopefully both of our teams are doing well at that point.
Absolutely.
So that it's a game worth going to.
Absolutely. But more so the Jets because they're the home team. So I want it to be mostly Jet fans. There's always a risk it won't be. If it's mostly Jet fans in the upper deck.
What's it traditionally?
It's very mixed.
So either or.
Well, Sean, you were at the last one in which the Giants were the home team. Correct. How would you describe the split?
I've been to the last three, so I've seen both home games. I think it gets very close to... Now, the Giant ones is always more Giant because of their season ticket holders. But even then, it's like 65-35. But the Jet home ones, I think you get to like 55-45.
How will Tiki Barber be treated in the upper deck of a Jet home game?
Dude,
think they'll talk crap to you?
I am so long ago a former Giant. I am a WFD and afternoon drive host right now.
Oh, so they would treat you as the talk show
they
host?
They would treat me as a talk show host. Absolutely.
Who admitted he's afraid of the Jets?
I think he just admitted he's in for the Giant coaching circle. He said right now.
Only two of them. Only two I'm scared of.
Let's go
and
to
Brees Hall's not going to be there.
Probably not, unfortunately. Chris in Bayshore. What's up, Chris?
What up, Chris?
Yeah, hey, guys. How we doing?
Good, man. What's on your mind?
Nothing much. Listen, a couple of things. First of all, I want to congratulate Sean because I was bored on Saturday listening to Rutgers, so I called ESPN, spoke to Gary Myers, and he really put the hose to Sean's report about Dable, and obviously he proved out to be correct. So
that was a convoluted way of putting Sean over, but okay.
That's a good one, though.
Well, yeah, no, it's true. It was funny. He just kind of like, it was strange, but obviously,
I expect Gary, as a good reporter that he is, to apologize to Sean.
Yeah.
And I expect that'll happen. I have the most confidence that will occur.
I mean, Mike Francesa apologized to me when he said the Mets getting sold was bunk.
That is true. If Mike Francesa could apologize, and he did to Tiki for the Cohen report.
Right. Came on air. He walked in our studio and stopped our show.
To apologize.
To apologize.
Wow. There you go. Awesome. There you go.
So expect a phone call from Gary Myers, yes. Sean, of him apologizing.
Yeah,
Gary,
I think that's definitely in order. But the other reason I called is because I think as a Giants fan, and I don't know, you introduced the Campbell thing. As a Giants fan, I think you got to root against the Lions for them to kind of go down and just,
why? So you can get Dan? So we can get Dan?
Yeah, you got to get Dan. Dan is the guy. I mean, he gives you everything.
Chris, here's what I think is more likely to happen. and Dan Campbell keeps winning because he's not, because he's just the way he is. He's such a motivating head coach. Wins a Super Bowl, maybe wins another one, then has a mediocre like 9-7 year, and they mutually agree to part ways, and then he comes as a conquering hero to come back to the Giants. That sounds, but it's like 5 or 6
years. Yeah, that's like a few coaching changes away.
It's like almost a decade from now.
Dan Campbell is signed through the 2027 season.
Right.
So he has this year, he has next year, he has the year after that. And even if the Lions do flame out early, while I'm sure he and the organization will take major flack for the letdown, they're not firing him. I think there are some good coaches that you could twist your brain into thinking could be made available.
Mike Tomlin being one.
Mike Tomlin is the leader of that whole thing. I don't think we could ever get there with Dan Campbell because I can relate to Lion fans. The Lions are a garbage loser organization. I happen to root for a garbage loser organization. If Aaron Glenn does indeed put together the resume that Dan Campbell has put together, and remember, Aaron Glenn has compared himself.
Right.
Well,
he learned.
He learned from him, but has also calmed us down with the bad start, saying, hey, I've been through this before. If the Jets follow the same script as the Detroit Lions, as disappointed as I would be, I would not want that guy gone. No. I'd have my arms around him saying, you ain't going anywhere.
Right.
I'll give you a full decade of losing in the postseason before I ever want you out. Let's go to Tony in Bayonne. Hey, Tony.
Hey, good afternoon. Deke, so this morning, Shane Bowen took some responsibility about these fourth quarter debacles. And the whole firing of Dable just didn't seem right with him still being there on the roster.
Yeah.
Bowen.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, and I've watched some of these plays where you've got Brian Burns, who's the sack leader in the league or tied for the sacks in the league, dropping back into coverage on third downs.
Happens a lot.
And, there's nobody else on this roster. I mean, there's no one else on his coaching staff and assistant that could have.
Yeah, but Tony, real quick, let's just talk about why that's happening. Why Brian Burns is having flat coverage or curl coverage in some of these pass rushing situations. The Giants are so thin at linebacker. What are you doing? You're going to put the guy you brought in as a specialist for special teams into your starting lineup spot because Micah McFadden got hurt early in the season. Now Darius Mouassal, who you drafted last year in the back end of the draft, he's hurt. So your starter, your backup's hurt. Now you're on your third string guy who was half a practice squad player and there for special teams. You're making yourself worse if you don't put one of your better athletes into that role. The problem is it takes Brian Burns out of what he does best. And so as a result, they end up doing that with Abdul Carter sometimes as well. Abdul Carter's never done that. So not in college, it's almost unfair to judge them because what else is Shane Bowen supposed to do? Unless you're going to play dime and put corners in there or safeties in there, but then you're susceptible in the run game. So it's just, there's not an easy win because they're so thin at linebacker right now.
Matt in Howell, New Jersey. What's shaking, Matt?
Hey, real quick on the Jets-Giants. I think it would be cool if they did it every year, like that 17th game that they give us the SMS team, that we tie for last in the division every year. But I wanted to ask you something. Everyone thinks I'm crazy. Now, you're going to be the voice of reason here because you're not going to have emotion.
All right, go ahead.
It's my opinion that Rex Ryan destroyed the Jets.
Go ahead.
If you go back, he won with Mangini's players, Herm Edwards players. Once he got his hands on it, they could not draft anybody. Before you get emotional, Evan, right?
I'm not emotional.
Go look at it. Rex Ryan destroyed the Jets, guys.
Okay, so I'm not emotional about it. Here's what I would tell you. I have heard so many people utter that same statement, Rex Ryan won with Eric Mangini's players. And when I hear that, I almost roll my eyes because he got the back-to-back AFC championship games.
Right.
Eric Mangini never got close to that. So even if you want to buy that was Mangini's players, great. Rex did an awesome job. He's a coach. And as a coach, I think we'd all agree he maximized the players on his roster by getting to an AFC championship game in back-to-back years and losing to Peyton Manning's Colts
right.
and Ben Roethlisberger's Steelers.
Well, technically, they're Tannenbaum.
Mike Tannenbaum, right. But I'm just saying, if you want to play that dopey game, because I've heard that phrase a lot,
okay, so
I always hear it, and I say, well, what does that mean? He did a pretty good job as coach.
Well, let's look who it was. And so in 08, the year before he got there, Vernon Golston, Dustin Keller.
Vernon Golston, one of the biggest busts in New York Jets history.
Dwight Lowry, Eric Ainge.
Well, Darrell Revis, I think, would be a better candidate.
I'm talking about the year before Rex Ryan took over.
Right.
And then Rex Ryan took over in 2009, and it was Sanchez and Sean Green, who was actually pretty good.
And brought in Bart Scott, who was a Rex Ryan player. But I guess, who cares? Like, I just think that point is whatever. Okay, if we want to go.
I think they just drafted horribly.
Well, yes.
2 years after, you have Kyle Wilson.
Yes.
And Vlad Ducasse.
Vlad Ducasse.
Ducasse.
Ducasse, yeah, he sucked.
Joe McKnight was a decent player for a little bit. I think they just drafted terrible.
Well, that's his point. And he blames Rex Ryan. And I guess that's true. Yeah, the Jet roster got worse. You know, letting Alan Faneca go, Jericho Cotchery go. They made a lot of bad decisions. And so when Rex got fired, the Jets were in a bad place. And then Todd Bowles took over, and they had one really good year. It was probably a fool's gold year with the corpse of Darrell Revis, who played well for the first 15 weeks. And they made the offense magical with Ryan Fitzpatrick and Brandon Marshall. And then the roster wasn't good, and the locker room wasn't good, and then they were never able to rebuild for that decade after. So I guess our last caller's point is valid, but it's okay. It's a decade ago. Rex was a good coach. He maximized the talent that he had, but unfortunately he left them in a worse place than where he found them. Okay.
ARK Raiders, a multiplayer extraction adventure game where most of humanity shelters underground, but Raiders rise to the surface in search of something greater. In the Rust Belt, danger isn't the end of the story. It's the beginning of the adventure. Every journey above ground is a gamble against the relentless machines of ARK and rival raiders chasing the same dream. Explore a lethal yet vibrant world scarred by old conflicts and reclaimed by nature, where shifting conditions make every high-stakes run unpredictable. ARK Raiders. Available now on PlayStation 5, Xbox Series X, S, and PC. Rated T for teen.
At Lowe's, this Veterans Day and every day, verified military members, veterans, and their spouses get automatic silver status in MyLowe's Rewards with free standard shipping, plus 10% off eligible purchases with no annual limit. It's one way we honor and give back to those who have served and still do. Learn more now at Lowe's.com/military. 10% discount can't be combined with another offer. Exclusions, terms, and conditions apply. Loyalty program subject to terms and conditions. Details at Lowe's.com/terms. Subject to change.
Most security systems react after a break-in begins. That's too late. SimpliSafe is different. It's proactive. Active Guard Outdoor Protection uses AI-powered cameras to spot suspicious activity before criminals get inside. Live monitoring agents can see, speak to, and scare off intruders in real time, quickly calling police if needed. To get 60% off your new system, go to simplisafe.com/podcast. That's simplisafe.com/podcast for 60% off. There's no safe like SimpliSafe.
With TikTok ads, our revenue went up $10 million year over year during back-to-school season. Penn Foster is online education. TikTok is great because the reach is incredible for finding a lot of different types of audiences on the platform. Creator content at scale allowed us to easily develop and distribute creator-led ads. Our return on ad spend for TikTok is 21% higher than the next best channel.
Start growing your business today. Head over to getstarted.tiktok.com/TikTokAds.
Honeymoon, here we come. Where's our car?
It's been stolen.
We'll call our insurance agent. I'm right here.
Oh, hey, Jen. You got our invite.
Love the dress.
Are we covered for this?
Of course. That's why you chose Auto Owners. We work together to get the right coverage. So when the unexpected happens, you know you're covered.
That's simple human sense.
Now, how do we get to the airport? Take mine.
Thanks, Jen.
Ask your independent agent if Auto Owners make sense for you.